Fire land timely means delays with construction and invariably increases to construction budgets. Also, the inability to negotiate and reach agreements with owners. That can protract and increase the cost of litigation. Projects can also be stalled as a result of the procurement process. If we can't get our contracts through procurement, then the acquisition of land is delayed. So what do we do, really? These are some of our projects that we have ongoing right now. You have a blank screen?
We were fancy and phased it in, maybe.
Okay, we'll phase it in. Okay, right. Nobody told me about that. Sorry. Apologize. What we do, well, our designers identify the right-of-way needs to determine all of the appropriate right-of-way. Generally, they prepare the plats of survey and the legal descriptions of the land that we need to acquire. Then we order title commitments to determine the ownership and the status of title. For example, what are the exceptions to title? When we have final plats, the legal descriptions, and the titles, then the tollway will notify the owners in writing that their property may be impacted and then the resulting need for an appraisal. What we do is we value land based on appraisal. Each parcel that we acquire is appraised by an Illinois State Certified General Appraiser. As a side note, our title and appraisal services are procured. That appraisal is then reviewed by a review appraiser, and that's also an Illinois State Certified General Appraiser. And we encourage property owners to participate in that valuation process. After the appraisal process, the tollway commences its negotiations to acquire. And there, as a result of that, we provide our notice of intent to acquire to the owners. And our negotiator makes every effort to meet with the owners of property and in order to negotiate a purchase. During these negotiations, we will receive any relevant data or information from the owner, whether they received their own appraisal or they have other market comps that are different than our comps from our appraisal. But please know that the offer will not be less than the value determined by our appraisal. We provide the requisite, what we call the 60-day letter, which is a letter that is sent by certified mail, and that's with return receipt, and that provides the time frame with which we need to conclude negotiations. Relocation. Relocation assistance and benefits provide for relocation and what we call reestablishment of persons and businesses that are displaced by our projects. Anyone that occupies a business or a dwelling for 180 days or more is defined as displaced. These are benefits. These are not guaranteed rights, so displaced persons must apply for and qualify for benefits. Pursuant to the Toll Highway Act, the tollway must comply with the federal statute known as the Uniform Relocation Act of 1970 and the implementing regulations of 49 CFR Part 24. When we're dealing with displaced persons, we will not force vacation or we will not require those folks to vacate the property before receiving another letter, and that's called our 90-day letter. Some relocation costs will include moving expenses, connection for utilities, reestablishment expenses, counseling in locating replacement property. Sometimes we offer mortgage or rental assistance. Now, we always make every effort to attempt to settle. We work very hard at that. However, when those best efforts to reach an agreement do break down, or we have to clear title, we do look to our eminent domain powers. However, before exercising those powers, we must make sure several items occur. For example, that negotiations were conducted in good faith, that we did provide the owner 60 days to consider the final offer, that the improvements we're undertaking are necessary for a public purpose, that the funding for those improvements are, in fact, in place. In connection with condemnation matters, the tollway is represented by the Attorney General, and they represent us in all our litigation, and we often use approved outside counsels. Those are called special assistant attorney generals, and they will represent us in these court cases. Since this is a court case, these are proceedings, and they're initiated by filing a complaint. And as a result of that, the jury is are the folks that determine what is just compensation. The tolling also has what we call quick take powers or quick take authority that's provided for in the Eminent Domain Act. So after the complaint is filed, our attorneys will motion the court for an immediate vesting of title. When the court finds what's called reasonable necessity for the acquisition by condemnation, it will hear evidence or have what we call an evidentiary hearing to make a finding as to the amount of what we call preliminary just compensation. That's the amount the tollway will have to put on deposit in order to get title and possession. At this hearing, our appraisers and our condemnation engineer will testify. The quick take process certainly provides a mechanism to secure title and possession when the immediate use and possession of the property is necessary for our public projects. After the tollway attains title and possession, the case proceeds like any other court case, and the amount of the final just compensation or final fair market value becomes the remaining issue to be resolved in those cases. This is certainly the encapsulated version of what we do, and I certainly thank you for your time, and I can take questions now if anyone has them.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm one of our million viewers out here watching us live broadcast. This may be an unfair question, and you've touched on it as you're going through the process. Mm-hmm. But I'm somebody saying, I know there's got to be a way that this system is unfair to the property owner. Can you talk a little bit about the safeguards to the property owner in a, you know, just in a non-legal way? You sort of spelled them out in a legal way, but how are the people who are in the path of our work going to feel as if they're protected from the big bad tollway coming in here?
Great question, Chair.
We didn't prepare this, so I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm prepared.
Great question.
We make every effort. We like to consider ourselves the friendly governmental agency. We make every effort to actually talk to and meet with these owners. We reach out. We, after public hearings, we have a lot of discussion with owners at these public hearings. We keep names. We keep contacts. I must say I have an excellent staff with which we're all enabled to deal with these sorts of situations. So I think how we're effectively to make sure that things are fair and that we do comply with the laws that we're required to follow is that we really put a human touch to the process. There's no question that it's a difficult process that we engage and impact people. And so we start off with meeting with folks. We call folks. I talk to folks. We speak with them. We talk with them. If they want us to come out, we come out on evenings, Saturdays, Sundays. We make the process work for them. And to the extent that they come back to us and their requests are reasonable, we do everything in our power to accommodate them.
That's very helpful. Thank you. And there are a lot of legal safeguards built in, as you say. There's the time.
Yes.
From something starts until it ends, and you get an outside appraisal that's done.
It's a lengthy process. We don't work to speed up that process. We don't, all of a sudden, I think there's a misperception sometimes that we just take people's land and the bulldozer shows up the next day. That's not what we do. That's not what we're permitted to do, and so in connection with our outreaches, we assure people that that's not what's going to happen to them. If they qualify for benefits, we make sure that they get the best benefits under the Uniform Act. So we do work very diligently in connection with that.
Good. Well, thank you, and I think as we're going into this project, it's been very helpful, at least for me, to understand how all of this is going to happen, because it is not impossible that other directors will also meet people who will have questions about this, who are anxious about it in advance of it happening. And I hope that as the Finance and Administration Operations Committee meets, that we'll get regular reports back. So if there are places where there are glitches, people are concerned about whether our process is really working, the trustees and the directors will be aware so that we can figure out if there's some kind of fix that you might recommend to the process.
Oh, you'll certainly hear from me.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank
no
you.
No surprises with the rule here, right?
No surprises.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll hear from John Donato regarding some procurement streamlining and a quick recap on that.
Okay. Thank you, Director Peterson. As he touched on earlier, in our continued efforts of streamlining and building efficiencies in the procurement process, we asked the FAO committee last week to further delegate their approval authority on procurements that are less than $250,000 for the CMS-led procurements. These CMS-led procurements apply to routine commodity items that are necessary in our day-to-day operations. So why $250,000? Well, we analyzed all the data, and this figure makes the most sense. 91% of our CMS-led procurements are less than $250,000, but they only make up 14% of the whole value. So we approximately spend $21 million annually on these CMS-led procurements, and we'll still continue to present about $18 million, or 86% of the value of that pool. So what does this mean? It means 1,000 hours of staff time saved. This efficiency provides our staff time to work on more complex procurements and reduce the time it takes to complete a procurement. This could save up to 4 weeks on the procurement process, and as we've heard, several times today, it is long. That means our fleet is waiting less time for auto parts to maintain District 15 State Police, as well as tollway vehicles. So are there any safeguards in place? You bet. All of these CMS-led procurements are competitively bid, evaluated, and awarded. We are required to utilize these contracts, and approval is still required by our executive director, procurement, and the Executive Ethics Commission. We'll submit a monthly report of these transactions, just like we do currently with our informational items. We'll also post these transactions on the Tollway's website to maintain our transparency and accountability. And we'll also seek board approval if the cumulative amount of these transactions will need to exceed $250,000. So what we're asking today is for you to approve this resolution that will enable us to become more efficient and transparent in our process. Any questions?
The resolution we've talked about will have a sunset, so it has to come back to the board for approval again after 12 months.
Yes.
And sign off basically that it's going to go be competitively bid, but then you're going to sign off your signature, the executive director's signature, and one other signature you said?
Executive Ethics Commission.
Ethics, we'll all sign off on that.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. And we'll get a monthly report.
Correct.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any questions?
We have a copy of the resolution.
Number three. Any more questions for John? Okay, there were two items. One was an intergovernmental agreement with the Village of Libertyville and the Libertyville Fire Protection District for an emergency siren tower at the Lake Forest Oasis. And then there was an amended identification of real estate parcels that was deferred to executive session. And that's completes my report in the Finance Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. For Director Peterson. So is this the point where we would do the approval of the resolution? And help me again. Where is the resolution?
Send me the presentation. This would be the right time on Mr. Donato's procurement resolution.
Okay.
So that's what we suggest you take up now.
Okay. Scroll down to number three. There we go. Okay. Do we have it to flash up on the screen? Okay. Are there questions about this? Director Peterson, I think very thoughtfully at the committee level asked that we put the sunset provision in to make sure that this came back to us so that we could figure out how it's working and make sure that it's doing everything we had hoped it would do. Is there anything else or any concerns about it? Okay. I I think actually technically under Robert's Rules of Order, it can come as a motion from the committee, so we need a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. It's approved. I just have two very quick things, it's actually one thing, which is I wanted to comment on the Earth Day Summit. First of all, to thank Christy and the staff. It's a lot of work.
Thank you, staff.
I'll thank the staff, but there were a lot of people who put in a lot of time on it. And as you remember, this is something that the governor had urged us to do, to make sure that we cooperate with the other transportation agencies. It's a one time a year. We do that in a visible, human, concrete way. There was also a report of all of the activities that had resulted from cooperation over the year that was distributed at the summit. If you weren't there, we'll make sure that you get a copy of it, because I think it is impressive the number of things that happened as a result of the interagency cooperation. I want to thank the trustees who were able to come. I know some of you had conflicts with your schedule, but I appreciate you coming in. I think something that may have been a little bit understated, but is a really significant thing that I just, again, want to commend Christy and the staff on, is the fact that the Department of Transportation and the governor that day announced that they're going to look at the circle interchange to figure out if there's a way of expediting the traffic through there. We're investing a lot of resources, in the Jane Addams. And for our customers, it's going to be really important that when they hit that last toll, they don't go into gridlock. And as you remember, we had talked last year at this time at the Earth Day Summit about doing something about the Kennedy to the circle interchange part of that process, and it was like yelling down a well. I think we're now at a point where we've heard a voice come back at us, and it's just terrifically exciting that we actually have, again, pardon the pun, a concrete example of the agencies working together to try to make sure that our investment actually is maximized by the fact that Department of Transportation is now looking from the consumer perspective about what a difference this is going to make. Now, of course, we have bigger and greater ideas about what can happen on the Kennedy and how we can figure out how to do cooperation on some of the mass transit as well as congestion pricing things that we were discussing at the summit. So there's still stuff to be done, but I think that this is a great first step. And just to mention that, I also would commend to you Charlie Whelan's remarks. I don't know if did we get copies of those? Or maybe we can get copies of them. I think a lot of it was
like
just out of his hip pocket. But he talked just masterfully about the alternative funding mechanisms. He's really smart, and he's funny, and his real gift is simplifying very complicated things, I think, and helping people to understand them. And at least for me, he really laid out the alternatives and why we need to be thinking about alternative ways of funding, which led to a series of breakout groups where I think there was really animated conversation, because people, maybe for the first time, really understood and thought about some of these alternatives realistically. It remains to be seen what will happen. We actually centered the Earth Day Summit this year around the funding alternatives, because many of the chairs and members of the other transportation entities were eager to have that discussion. So we have to figure out now what kind of traction that's going to have. But I just wanted, again, to thank everybody at the tollway for the work they did. And sometimes it feels as if the day ends and we've forgotten about it, but I think we've proven this year that a lot of seeds that are planted on Earth Day, again, you'll pardon the pun, actually grow and flower during the year, and we are making progress.
My goodness.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm done. That's my report. Christy?
Great, thank you. I wanted to take a moment to introduce Captain Joe Perez. I don't know if I've introduced him at the board previously. As you may remember, Lieutenant Gutierrez was here for a period of time and taking over the responsibilities of running District 15 for several months. Captain Perez has come now and is going to be, I think, as permanent as anybody is, right?
As any of us are, yes.
head of District 15, and we welcome you to the tollway, and I think are already working very well together. Lieutenant Gutierrez has gone back, he's been pulled back to District Chicago, so I'm sure you will continue to work closely with them as well, as has always been the case. So, Captain, welcome, and is there anything that you'd like to say? This is a spontaneous introduction.
I know that, at least I like to believe, that
the authority of the state police. We've had a very good relationship over the years. I'm not sure I can improve on that because I've heard it's very good, but it's my goal to improve that, at least continue it. So I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you. Welcome. So, wanted to give a couple of updates. First, the 53120 Blue Ribbon Advisory Council. I know Director Peterson has been attending some of those council meetings. It's nearing the end of its process, or at least this phase of its process. The group has drafted a very comprehensive and detailed resolution and summary report, which were shared with the public earlier this month on April 11th. And there was a lot of, as you can imagine, very active discussion at the last council meeting about some of the recommendations and provisions in that, at least initial draft. So there's going to be another draft report coming that will be circulated to the council. And we expect that at the last council meeting on May 18th, ideally they will come to some consensus between the council and the public on, you know, what they're prepared to send on to the board. I think that, you know, really the conceptual framework around the design of the project, and there does seem to be some consensus that there's a need for the project. I certainly would say with caveats from some members of the council, but, you know, obviously the real focus has, as is always the case, is funding and financing of the project and making sure that the funds are available to do and invest in, you know, some of the, you know, design elements and environmentally sensitive solutions that the council members have prioritized. So I am anxious to see what the outcome of this advisory council process is, but I think we've certainly all benefited from bringing everybody around the table so people can understand the opposing viewpoints or the different perspectives on this important project. I don't know, Director, you'd like to share anything?
No, you should might as well. It's a well-rounded group of people. In the last meeting we had quite a bit of public input at that meeting. It was well attended. I think it was like almost standing room only. So definitely captured the imagination and the attention of the public up in Lake County and Northern Cook County areas. I think that to your point about a consensus, I think there's some debate what a consensus is, and they're trying to sort that through, and they know they need to reach some sort of consensus before they come, they bring it to us, because they can't come without a consensus. They can't realize they need to basically fine-tune what they've been looking at the last 6 or 8 months now. And I think there's even talk of another meeting in between the final meeting to get this done and do it the right way.
Right.
So, no, it's been well done, and appreciate always, you know, the support and staff that has been there, and your involvement, too. It's been wonderful.
So, if I could just comment, just to put it in context, this is a project which I think has been on hold for 40 years, and there are enormously strong feelings about it on all sides. I think putting together this Blue Ribbon Committee was actually a pretty daring thing to do, because what we were doing was asking people who had been really oppositional for a long time to sit around the table and try to answer three questions. Do you want a road? If you want the road, what would it look like? And the third question was, how would you finance it? And I think we've probably gone a long way to changing the way the tollway has answered those questions in the past. So I think that part is really exciting. I don't want to minimize the fact that there's still a lot of tension around this, and just to remind everybody around this table that eventually the decision about whether or not to go ahead with this rests right here with the directors. So a lot of work has gone outside this room, and I think it's wonderful that Director Peterson's been able to attend a lot of those meetings, because he then has a real appreciation, as does Christy and the rest of the staff, for how complicated and highly charged a lot of these issues are, because I don't think this is going to be something, when it comes to us, that's going to be a slam dunk. I think we're really going to have to think through a lot of the work and understand a lot of the work that's been done by the time it actually comes to us. So I want to commend again everybody who's been involved, and also the people who have done it outside of this room, but just to acknowledge that we still have a lot of hard decisions ahead of us, both before the report even gets to us, the people who are working on the commission, but also once it gets to us. Thank you.
No, thank you. And Rocco has done a tremendous job with this council, as others. There are certainly others who have been involved as well, but he really has been kind of the team leader from our perspective on it, has done a tremendous job. And as you said, it's not always easy. So but it's been a good effort. Elgin O'Hare Western Access, I'm also pleased to update you on that project. There's been some great progress moving several critical parts of that project forward. You'll see on the agenda for this month that we have a critical design and I think corridor management contract that's part of our agenda for hopefully for approval today at the full board. As you know, we've really been working hand in hand with IDOT on this project, and we don't see that stopping. They're going to be an important partner for us all the way through as this project impacts, you know, state roads and local corridors and arterials throughout the project area. IDOT began the draft environmental impact statement process, which they're winding down now. They had a public meeting to gather public comments on May 14th. We hope to have a record of decision by the end of this year, but that is in the hands of the federal government. And to have it by the end of this year would be a somewhat aggressive timetable for a record of decision. I think that's fair to say. And somebody can feel free to jump in and correct me if I'm wrong. But last week, IDOT and the Tollway did host that public hearing, and about 350 people attended to learn more about the project, and I think it's fair to say that there was, you know, quite a bit of excitement, but also it was clear that there was going to be a need for education of the general public on the project and what exactly was being committed to and what we were going to be developing in that corridor. We've also continued to have some very, I think, positive discussions with DuPage County and the local mayors. I think everybody at the local level and the mayors are committed to the project, and I know that everybody is going to, and with the leadership of DuPage County, really try to row in the same direction of resolving the $300 million funding gap. Particularly, I think that Chair Cronin said that he's working in Washington with the congressional delegation on that issue, and I think the mayor is very positive about that as well. So, you know, as we move forward with our own kind of putting the pieces together here, I know we talked last month about this. We're launching now, you know, a step of, you know, getting some of this initial design and some of the plans together. And I know that the board wanted us to come back and check back in with them, particularly in the fall toward the end of the year, on the progress being made toward that $300 million. We're still thinking that we would try to go and start construction on this project next year. But of course, we'll continue to work with the locals and see how that funding gap is being addressed as we, you know, potentially move into the construction phase, because that, of course, will be a very definitive definitive act, and I know that everybody will want to have some comfort with progress on that $300 million. So.
And we thank Director Reddick for his participation in that.
He's been participating with some of us, or some of the meetings with the local mayor, so I know getting his arms around a project that came in you know, after many of us had an opportunity to review it and kind of get our arms around it for several years, they've gotten up to speed very quickly, and I think will be very helpful. Your participation has been very helpful, I think, in making sure that the locals are comfortable that at every level of the tollway, there's a real interest in getting this done in a way that takes into account any concerns that they have. But ultimately, I think it's fair to say that everybody's pretty positive about and very positive about wanting to move forward and full steam ahead.
It's been my experience.
We have been participating in budget hearings. As you know, we're not appropriated, but we do go and provide testimony. I was down this week for the Senate appropriations hearing. That went fairly well. The House hearing also went well, fairly uneventful. As you can imagine, the General Assembly is very focused on things like the General Revenue Fund and pensions and Medicaid and their own challenges with the state budget, but we were happy to go down and present our budget, some of the good work that we're doing here. Also wanted to let you know I'm going to be sharing with you a draft of, I know you received the monthly program report. We have been taking another look at that to maybe update it or do something a little bit different for the Move Illinois program, maybe more of a dashboard report on a monthly basis that I think will be more useful to everybody instead of a very thick document to wade through, with the more comprehensive reports quarterly. So I'll be sending and providing to you for feedback, you know, some drafts of what we would anticipate being in that document, so that you can let us know if there's anything you'd like to see more on a regular monthly basis. But I know for myself, it's very difficult when you get reports that are 50 pages long on a monthly basis, and I prefer to get a couple pages that really tell you the highlights and then the opportunity to drill down, you know, on a more quarterly basis when you can actually see the progress from one to the next. So I also wanted to update you that financial advisors, underwriters, and bond counsel, you know, as you know, we've been trying to move these procurements forward to refresh these pools so that as we go out with new bond issues for the Move Illinois program, we have refreshed pools of all of these services. I will tell you that this, like many of the other procurements that the tollway is undertaking, these procurements have been you know, a little bit delayed, frankly. We had hoped to come to either this month's board or next month's board with approval. We would still love to try to make it to next month's board, but it may be the June board meeting, so I just wanted to update you on that. We still, of course, have the option if we decide to move forward or think that the conditions in the marketplace are such that we would want to be and move forward with our bond issue this year sooner than that, would provide that we could use the existing pools. But otherwise, if we can make it to, I think, the June board, we could reasonably expect that we could have agreements in place and could be ready to issue with a new team August, is that fair? Which is pretty much in keeping with the original timeline that we had. But I wanted to let you know before we'd actually miss the deadline that we, not deadline, but before we missed the target that we'd set for ourselves, that was taking a little longer. Trip calculator, this is a new improvement. I remember when my family came in from out of town and I decided to try to use the 7 days to pay process. I think I found, as many of our customers find when they went online, to try to figure out what toll plaza they'd actually gone through. And of course, I have the benefit of having a little bit more information about the tollway system than the average person, found the previous trip calculator very difficult to use. It wasn't always clear which toll plaza you'd been through, or it was hard to identify where you may have missed your toll. So Shauna and her team and Joe have made, I think, some significant improvements. Communications, I know, was involved in that as well. And we really have seen some tremendous success. Visitor traffic to that online map that houses the trip calculator has grown by nearly 40% since January and February, so people are definitely using it. And April's numbers have us at an average of more than 1,700 daily visits to the webpage, so people can calculate and project what tolls they're going to be paying, if they're going to be taking a trip, but also use the function to pay, you know, within the 7 day time frame if they've missed a toll. So it's great work, an excellent example of, you know, us responding to customer needs, and I know everybody put a lot of hard work and effort into how to make it a better and more useful tool. So thanks to all of you in your department. That I think concludes the updates that I have for you all.
Any questions for Christy? Thank you. Christy was in Springfield yesterday too, so got a lot going on. Can we move then to the consent agenda, please? Under finance, on the first one, there's a recusal by Director Reddick. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? On procurement, I believe we can do 1 through 7. There are no recusals.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? On engineering, as Paul and Director Peterson mentioned, item 9 will be deferred till May. So why don't we do 1 through 8 and then 10 through 10 and 11.
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? And then on... I'm sorry, it should have been 12 by 10 and 11. Right, there was a recusal was on 12. Did I do 11? Is that in the motion? Okay, I'm sorry. So let's do 11 as a separate motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. On number 12, there's an abstention, a recusal, I'm sorry, by Director Towns.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? On 13? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? On legal, we'll do 1 and 2. 3, we will going to discuss this in executive session, and then when we come back into open session, we can take a vote on it. Can we hear a motion on 1 and 2?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? We'll take three up in executive session. Is there any unfinished business before the board? Any new business before the board? Okay. Then may I hear a motion from our general counsel on going to executive session, please?
Thank you, Chair. We recommend a motion to enter executive session pursuant to exceptions under the Open Meetings Act, and specifically sections 2C1 for litigation matters, 2C2 personnel matters, 2C5 and 2C11.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? And then we will, as I say, come back into closed session, open session on item 3 under legal. Okay, thank you everybody very much.